Hi, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm an activist mommy. Well, you've been living in a cave if you haven't heard about the Women's March in Washington, D.C., the day after Donald Trump got inaugurated. Listen, on behalf of normal women everywhere, I want to say that was not our march. I mean, vagina hats, vagina costumes, maxi pads littering and defacing the walls of buildings. You women really are nasty. You truly have earned that title that you desire. When are you going to put your big girl panties on and realize the march is over? Rah, rah, you won your right to vote. You won the right to equal pay. I don't have a problem with that. Hey, it's over. You got it all. You got your equality. So the media reports that it was a peaceful march. Really? Why was Madonna up there talking about how she has thought many times about blowing up the White House?
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Holy guacamole. Why were people holding signs that said abort Vice President Mike Pence? The media says it was a march for tolerance. Tolerance? Then why were the pro-life groups that wanted to attend the march disallowed from being there? Such hypocrisy. The radical feminist agenda has turned into nothing more than a campaign for abortion on demand and homosexuality. Look, we don't want to pay for your abortions. We don't want to pay for your birth control. We don't want to pay for your sex changes. And we don't appreciate that you completely ignore women who don't fit into your narrative. You see, if you're going to march for women, you got to march for all women. That's why I'm crying foul on the feminist agenda. You're not really marching for women. Because if you were marching for women, you'd be marching for the unborn women in the womb, too. You see, feminism is nothing more than an ideology created by discontented, silly, sinful women who want to justify their sinful lifestyles. They want to justify their abortions. They want to justify their homosexual sex. This wasn't a women's march. This was an I hate men's march. And oh my goodness, you're going to set Madonna up there as an example for women and daughters everywhere? Seriously? She is one of the most immoral women in our nation's history. Girls, when are you going to realize that this kind of behavior does not make you more powerful? You just seem unintelligent and silly. It makes you weaker. You know, I marched too. I marched right into my kitchen and cooked for my family and marched right into my baby's room and changed her diaper. That's real womanhood. Not walking around in a vagina costume, demanding rights that you already have, pretending that you're a victim and discriminated against when you're not. I'm sorry, but when some woman wearing a vagina costume starts lecturing me about womanhood, I'm out. If you agree with me, please share this video with the hashtag NotMyMarch. Thanks and God bless you.
Good morning. Such an honor to be in front of another group of activists this morning. True activists, mommies and daddies. You guys are the movers and the shakers. You don't just talk, but you are doers. And so it is an honor to be with you today. And the most amazing part about it is there's not one man or woman here with a vagina hat on. Praise be to God. You mean you can actually get something accomplished in America without wearing these silly costumes and these silly hats? That is so refreshing to know. So please excuse my kind of crass language at times. Unfortunately, this is the world that the activist mommy lives in every day as we fight this battle. And so I'm not bashful about going head-to-head on these issues. And honestly, life just really gets a bit too serious for all of us sometimes, and we just need to relax and laugh. So I have really enjoyed meeting some of you, and I'm honored to have my family here with me. Could you guys stand in the back there? I am so honored to have my husband, Dr. Patrick Johnston, and my 10 children with me. Thank you, guys. They are my pride and joy, obviously, and there would be no activist mommy without my amazing children and my husband who are just so supportive, and my older children really carry a large load helping me so that we can work in the ministry, and I'm just so grateful to them. Yes, they are all ours, by the way, and yes, we know what causes it, so... I don't know if you've ever seen our 12 Days of Christmas rendition online. We sing the 12 Days of Christmas, and we go through all of the things that we hear when we're out in public, and it's really cute. Look it up. Okay, let me get my little thingy going here. Are we working? Oops, there's the vagina hats. Okay, there we go. I have my family here in real time. I wasn't sure I was going to have them, so I had a picture in my slideshow just in case. Okay, some of you know me as the angry mom who filmed myself burning a copy of Teen Vogue magazine in my backyard for teaching kids how to sodomize one another. Raise your hand if you saw that video. Maybe some of you, that might be how you first got to know me. Some of you know me from my viral Women's March video in which I laughed my head off at the vagina hatters who taped maxi pads to the walls of Washington, D.C. buildings because, remember, they don't want to be objectified by their private parts, right? Bastions of intellect and persuasion. Some of you know me as the Christian blogger who got banned from Facebook for 10 days because I had the nerve to quote what the Bible says about homosexuality. People have compared me to Tommy Lauren, except I'm pro-life. And I'm a bit chubby, so the comparison's not accurate, but I have had 10 kids, so it could be worse. I am sure it goes without saying that we are not living in the days of Ozzie and Harriet anymore. A few of the headlines recently, just a few of them in the last month. A proposed law in Delaware would allow kids to change, I'm sorry, the Hollywood Oscars just awarded an Oscar to a movie about man-boy love. A proposed law in Delaware would allow kids to change their gender or race at school without notifying parents because some parents wouldn't be supportive of the transition. A website called Trans Kids sells penile prosthetics to gender-confused children. Yes, you heard that right. They are selling private part gear to young children. My audience got their Facebook page shut down and deleted, and now their website remains, unfortunately. We need to see what we can do about that. A daughter in Ohio just a few weeks ago was stripped from her parents by the courts because her Christian parents did not want her to ingest non-FDA-approved hormones to undergo a sex change. Hello. Are we awake yet? This is war. We are in the midst of an unprecedented battle of ideas in our nation. Now, in a battle, opposition research is a key component to success. I follow all kinds of pages, like LGBT Nation and Planned Parenthood. And I follow these pages to research what they are doing. I get their emails in my inbox to see what the stories are every day that they are covering that they find important. What do coaches do after a game to help them defeat the opposing team the next game? They always watch the game film, don't they? And they learn from the opponent. It makes them more effective if they study their enemy and study their own strengths and weaknesses. Well, I've been watching game film, so to speak, and I have learned that the push for big government and the sexualization of our children and erosion of our parental rights is not accidental. And it's not even a natural progression of living in a more enlightened society. It is an intentional Marxist takeover, and I want to prove that to you. Who has read The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen? Several of you. If you have, you've read the 45 communist goals that were read into congressional record in 1963 as a warning to our nation. Now you tell me if these goals are not being accomplished one by one in our nation. We're going to look at just a few of them, okay, out of the 45. Let's look at number 17. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations and put the party line in textbooks. How many of you were following Phyllis Schlafly back in the 90s when she was exposing this stuff? I was. When I was in college in Florida, I was following Phyllis Schlafly as a young college student, and my professors hated my guts, let me tell you, because I was pumping Phyllis Schlafly's information to my classmates, and I was warning them because we were education majors, and I was warning them about what I was learning from Phyllis and saying, this is not good what we're seeing being rolled out into the schools under the jurisdiction of our federal government, for crying out loud. And so I was very hated by my professors and probably plenty of my fellow classmates as well. But yeah, Phyllis was, we miss Phyllis, and she was a critical part of my understanding of just this whole agenda. Number 19, use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Antifa, anyone? Infiltrate the press, number 20. Number 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Ever heard that one? 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. 29, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. 30, discredit the American founding fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture. 39, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. We see this right now with the whole transgender push and gender fluidity. We have the medical community, the psychiatric doctors in lockstep with the Marxist agenda, telling these parents that they have to allow these kids to go through transition to the opposite sex. In the one case in Ohio, the teenager is threatening suicide. And so because the parents' decision to not let the child transition is going to cause the child to commit suicide, the child is stripped from the custody of the parents. Every single one of these transgender clinics in our nation should have a full sit-in protest every day in front of that transgender clinic. There should be outraged parents in front of these transgender clinics. Cincinnati Hospital is working in lockstep with a transgender clinic that is beginning to steal the rights away from parents. We need to be visible and we need to be loud in front of these medical institutions, so-called medical. This is a bunch of junk science. This is not medicine. And the last one we're going to look at here is number 40, discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Have they not been accomplishing their goals one by one? I have made it one of my missions to convince Americans that this is an intentional takeover by the social Marxists, because when you know your enemy, you are better prepared to defeat him. Now, let's talk about five ways that the left keeps winning. Five tactics that they use that are so effective, and what our response should be to their leftist tactics. Leftist tactic number one, silence the opposition. Right? Silence the opposition. Have we not been seeing that a lot on social media? Obviously, we see it in the mainstream media. They run whatever narrative fits their agenda, but silence the opposition. I've been banned from Facebook for 3 times. Raise your hand if you've ever been in Facebook jail. Oh, yeah. Go, girls. There you go. We got some troublemaker table over here. Save the one. That's awesome. I have been banned from Facebook for 3 times. The first time, every time it's been for stating what the Bible says about homosexuality. I have been banned from Twitter 3 times as well. I've been shadow banned by Twitter for months. My tweets were marked as sensitive. Can you see that? This tweet is not available because it includes potentially sensitive content. Now, that's what you would expect to see over a tweet that contains pornography, maybe someone getting killed, maybe very vulgar language, cursing or something like that. I don't curse, okay? Vagina hats, as disgusting as I get, all right? I don't curse. I don't obviously don't post pornography or anything. And this is what you call shadow banning. And James O'Keefe of Project Veritas has done a great job of exposing what Twitter is doing to people. The thing is I don't know that it looks like this. Do you realize that? You realize that what I see is my tweets. See, the person who's being shadow banned, if you're on Twitter, you don't see this. You see your actual tweets. So you're not aware of what's going on. And someone else sent me this screenshot to show me that this is what they look like. Multiple petitions have been circulated to get my page removed. The one that you see there over on the left, remove the activist mommy, it's actually got 15,000 signatures trying to get the activist mommy removed from Facebook. Countless reporting campaigns where people tell their large pages, this homophobia exposed page had 50,000 followers, and they were telling all their followers to go report my page so that it would be removed from Facebook. It didn't work out so well from them. We actually got their page deleted from Facebook, so that was good. Oh, countless pages have been created to shut me down. The activist mommy needs to be shut down. Lock her up. Get the activist mommy permanently banned from Facebook. Now, why do they want to silence us? I thought they were the champions of tolerance and diversity of thought, right? No, we don't want to silence them. We believe the best solution to hate speech, more conversation, more dialogue, because the more they flap their lips, the dumber it is, okay? The worst. You hear the arguments, and we defeat them by letting them talk, okay? It's a good thing. More dialogue. We don't want to silence them. The more both sides are weighed against one another, the more minds we win, because we have truth on our side. And truth is kryptonite to the left. They flourish as long as the truth is kept hidden under a bushel. Their greatest threat is a fearless individual or group of individuals who won't hide but will shout God's word and God's standards from the mountaintops. That is what they fear, and that is why they want to silence us. If you can't be bullied, and sadly, most Christians can be bullied into silence, but if you can't be bullied, and if you can't be bribed, sadly, most politicians today can be bribed, and a lot of them have skeletons in their closet that they're hiding. But if you can't be bullied or bribed, watch out, world. You are a force to be reckoned with God on your side. What should our response be? Preach louder. Preach more frequently. Do not allow yourself to be silenced, and watch how God uses you if you refuse to be intimidated. God has told us to fear not. Our voices are needed. Remember, Jesus said, everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Let's talk about leftist tactic number two. When you can't mount an effective and cogent argument, use hateful insults and bully your opponent. I've been called an arrogant and hypocritical cow, a fraudulent fat, a blight on humanity, blonde Hitler, love that one, a demented, dandruff-eating, mediocrity-afflicted neophyte with glacially slow cognitive faculties. And yes, I actually wrote these down. You're like, oh, wow, she is really weird. They will not only bully you, they will stoop so low as to bully your family. You see here, my husband is a medical doctor, and they found his page and went and said terrible things about him and his wife. They've never been patients of his. He's a well-respected physician in his community with, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 patient charts. And loves his patients and does a fabulous job with them. People travel 3 hours to see my husband. And they get him down to a 2.1. And, of course, I had to reach out to some of my friends and his patients to say, hey, we need to get real reviews up there. And we got him back up to a 4.5. You'll see here on the left, someone's telling my daughter, 18-year-old daughter, that she looks like a goblin. And it's just because she's my daughter. Okay. And over here on the right, it's my 3-year-old daughter. You know, they're putting faces on her, and that's a drag queen beside her. And they're saying she looks an awful lot like this drag queen, my 3-year-old daughter. This is how low they will stoop. They will slander you and print libelous hit pieces about you. They can cause you to lose your job and your platform, and more importantly, lose your good name. The Advocate magazine wrote an incredibly vicious, slanderous hit piece about my husband and I. They are actually a homosexual publication. So many lies. We sent them a letter from a lawyer with all of the things. Almost everything they said about me was a lie, me and my husband. They had to put so many retractions in it at the bottom that it was almost as if nothing they said was true. However, that article had already been shared 60,000 times. 60,000 times before they put in fine print at the bottom of the article, which you and I both know nobody ever read, the corrections to that article. They said things like, my husband, Ohio anti-abortion activist, wants to outlaw public nudity, including breastfeeding. I have publicly breastfed all 10 of my children. Okay? Thank you. We are strong advocates of breastfeeding, and they want to tell those kind of lies about a medical doctor. We actually have had patients reaching out to us asking if my husband wanted to ban breastfeeding, public breastfeeding. And there were worse things in there, like, you know, that we want to, you know, kill homosexuals and all kinds of things like that. They just said outrageous things, that we abuse our children. I mean, you know, here they are risking us having children's services come and take our children, saying we abuse our children, with not one ounce of evidence to this. They taunt you. They send donations to Planned Parenthood in your name, and you get the mail from Planned Parenthood from Cecil Richards thanking you for the donation. And you'll see here over on the left, they put you at risk because they published my address and my phone number, my home address and my phone number there on the left side. And I've, you know, marked it out now. And we were getting calls at our home. My husband had to shut off the home phone for a little bit because we were getting calls at our home. Lots and lots of bully pages created to bully you. The activist dummy. The fascist mommy. Don't be sad for me, guys. Laugh. Come on. That's hilarious. I love audience participation. I really need to hear you, okay? The activist mommy. How cute. put that little comparison shot there for you at the bottom so you would see that they were trying to imitate me there. And we have Ta Activist Mama. Yeah, with that armpit hair, smoking while pregnant. One of my favorites, the Devil Mommy. Activist Mommy Annihilators. They'll send you death threats. I don't know if you can read that. I wish the absolute worst for you. Hey, kids, shut your ears back there. I try to protect my kids from all this. They don't know this stuff happens to their mom. I wish the absolute worst for you and all the disgusting demons you have pushed out of you. I hope they all end up gay and end up murdering you, you awful witch. You should be so ashamed of yourself, you're literally disgusting. And I know you hear it all the time, but there's many groups against you and your address has been leaked. God will punish you for your sins. We all know where you live now. Punishment is near, sweetheart. I've had the police at my house. We have reported death threats. And we are locked and loaded at all times. Thankfully, we can conceal carry legally in the great state of Ohio, and so that is what we do. And, this is my favorite, a page created called I Will Find Activist Mommy and Burn Whoever Runs It Alive. But the best part about it is that when hundreds of us reported it to Facebook, possibly even thousands of us, they responded saying, this does not violate their community standards. And then the page admins got scared because they knew that, you know, we were reporting them. So they changed the name of the page to May God Make the Activist Mommy Spontaneously Combust. And that was okay, too. That page is still there on Facebook. And here we have some hair, and they're saying, light her up. Burn her. Burn her at the stake. Now, what do we do? What should our response be to these leftist tauntings and threats? Laugh. Laugh at them. They hate it. Nothing's worse than laughing at them and letting them know that you don't fear them for a second. For instance, when one of the people that really loves me said, when all women are barefoot and pregnant again, the activist mommy will be happy. Enjoy the trip back to the 40s, ladies. I said, what? My husband lets me wear my shoes for the outside chores. So you've just got to have fun with it, guys, and make it very clear to them that you're not going to shut me down. You're not going to make me quiet. Nothing you can do can cause me to fear enough that I'm going to forsake pleasing my Father God and the mission that he's put me on. I am going to complete in Jesus' name. Now, the Bible does give us, it seems, instruction to laugh, does it not, in the face of such threats? Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice! Laugh! Right? And be glad. I'm not sure he meant laugh at them, but I do. Laugh and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So it's an honor to be listed among others who have suffered just a teensy bit in my case, just a teensy little bit, nothing compared to those who are the great cloud of witnesses who are watching what is taking place. And they are rooting for us. And they are, of course, our heroes. All right. Leftist tactic number 3. Push the envelope to see how the opponent reacts when you do the outrageous. They want to see how much they can get away with. How strong will our pushback be? And when we push back really strong, we see how effective it can be. That's what happened with Teen Vogue, all right? Teen Vogue publishes this outrageous article teaching our children how to sodomize one another in a teenage fashion magazine. I burned the copy of Teen Vogue, filmed it in my backyard. My husband built me a bonfire, and that was viewed. It's been viewed 13 million times now. We started Operation Pull Teen Vogue. Guys, I am not an organization, okay? I don't have, like, anybody helping me except my daughter and one homeschool mom who helps me write articles, blog articles, okay? I'm not AFA. I'm not FRC. Nobody big got on the bandwagon on this, all right? And we tried. I am one homeschool mom who's very, very busy. We burned this magazine and started Operation Pull Teen Vogue. This was the author of the article, Gigi Engel. Look at there at that. I'm not going to read it out loud for the sake of mine who can't read in the back of the room. But you see what kind of disgusting individual this is who is writing for teenagers in a fashion magazine. We called them out on it. This is the editor of Teen Vogue magazine, the digital editor of Teen Vogue magazine, Philip Picardi, all right? He is a homosexual man, and he is writing a teen magazine for girls, all right? I mean, he's the digital editor. He's in charge of what is published. So we call him out, Philip Picardi and Gigi Engel, and we start tweeting, and we start exposing them on Facebook, and we start calling their advertisers and asking them to pull advertising. Probably the biggest thing that happened was Franklin Graham said, hey, what this mom did was awesome, and we all need to help with Operation Pull Teen Vogue. That was incredible. But this story did go everywhere, okay, and we praise God for that. Now, this was Philip Picardi's response to us concerned parents. This was what he tweeted in response to us. You see there, he says, the backlash to this article is rooted in homophobia. It's also laced in arcane delusion and what it means to be a young person today. That's not what it means to be a young person in the Johnston house today. I don't know about y'all. And he said, anal was the last straw, I guess, when someone sent him, I don't know if you guys tweet or not, but you see Tyler McCall there, hit him my video and said, I'm screaming, like, oh, my goodness, this woman, I cannot even take this. And he says, oh, I guess anal was the last straw. And then Philip tweets this picture of he and his boyfriend with his rainbow-colored fingernail. Here's my only reply I'll be giving to any of these messages. So we just kept pressuring them. We called the advertisers. I didn't know how many people were calling. I had no way of knowing how many people were emailing. Sometimes you put it out there and you just don't even know. Well, I will never forget the day that I jumped on Twitter and I saw this right here. Teen Vogue is dead. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you. Condé Nast is closing Teen Vogue's print edition, lowering magazine frequencies, and cutting about 80 jobs as it continues to transition. Now, some people will say this is just because we live in a digital age. Well, then why did none of Condé Nast's other print magazines go out of print? Condé Nast has all kinds of print magazines, Vogue, a bunch of the big ones. The only one that went out of print was Teen Vogue magazine. December was their last edition. Make sure you, do you know who was on the front cover of the last edition of Teen Vogue? Hillary Clinton. Oh, yes, a role model for all of our daughters. So, yeah, they wanted to cement it real good and, you know, kind of dig the knife in there in that last publication. So, but it was just an awesome victory, an awesome example of how to win, guys. We don't engage in the battle like we need to sometimes. We're too silent. We're too passive. And we can learn a little bit from watching how the left wins battles. That was a battle that we won. Now, we need to get them completely removed digitally, online, as well as, honestly, Teen Vogue needs to be prosecuted. Gigi Engel and Philip Picardi should be prosecuted for pandering obscenity to minors. We have excellent obscenity laws. The problem is cowards are not enforcing these obscenity laws, and we need to start pressuring them. Guess what? When you're a coward, you can be bullied. You'll do things that you're pressured to do. right? If you won't do it because of principle, you'll do it because you're pressured to do it. Isn't that how the game works, guys? And so where are we? Why aren't we pressuring these cowards to prosecute obscenity all across our nation? I'm honored to be working in this room with people like Diane Stover and Barry Sheets and Linda Harvey, who's speaking in the other room right now. I am honored to be working with them to try to change laws in the state of Ohio to make sure that obscenity is going to be enforced. No exceptions. Oh, and yes, we did rub it in when we had that victory. Do we have the video to that? Is there a video? Oh, yeah. Can you turn the sound up there for a second? Oh, yeah. Look at that takedown. Oh, yeah. Look at that side control. Gotta have fun. Yes. For those of you who think that's not very Christian, I don't know, shut up. Just shut up. Okay? You're probably not ready for the battle, all right? This is kind of how it goes down, so. All right. Now, this situation recently in Ohio where this child is stripped from the custody of their parents, this happened just like 3 weeks ago in Ohio. And I'll be honest with you, I was very disappointed. I'm going to tell you how not to win, okay? That's when a child is stolen from their parents because they won't support transgender surgery for their child, 40 people show up at the courthouse. That's how you don't win. There should have been tens of thousands of people here at this event. If the Vagina Hatters can get millions of people to fight for the right to murder babies and to fight for the right to have sex with people of the same sex and to have that, you know, protected by law and to pay for their free birth control, for crying out loud, why don't we have at least tens of thousands of people at events like this when our kids are being stolen out from under our noses? Where is the outrage? We need to be outraged, and we all need to begin to mobilize together. And we need the big organizations. And those of you that are in this room, FRC, AFA, we need the big organizations willing to get on board with controversial issues, even a mom burning a Teen Vogue magazine. We need you guys to get on board and help us with this activism. And then with abortion, we see this. Every day in America with abortion, the left utilizes manufactured outrage to keep the opponent squabbling over non-issues, causing us to stop short of true victory. That's why I respect so much people like Dan Becker in this room here, and Sarah, and Pat McEwen, just hero, heroine, who has been working tirelessly all of her life to end abortion, no exceptions. My husband, who's been doing this for 20 years, working with Personhood Ohio. These are individuals who are working to end abortion, no exceptions. Rebecca has done such an amazing job to show us that rape should not be a reason to execute the victim. But we waste our time, our money, our resources on 24-hour waiting periods and partial birth abortion bans, and I'm going to offend some people, heartbeat bill, all stopping short of the true victory and God's remedy, which is the abolition of all abortion and justice for those who shed blood. And we fall for it every time. We believe the lie that true victory can't be achieved because when we just try for a 24-hour waiting period, the left throws a conniption fit, right? The left goes into full-fledged anarchy and outrage over a stinking 24-hour waiting period bill that we're trying to work on, right? And so then we said, oh, well, if they're going to freak out over that, we can't possibly work to actually end abortion. Matt Walsh, who's speaking tonight, just wrote an article 3 or 4 days ago, and he said about pro-lifers, about us in this room, we are left begging for crumbs. We ask just for limited bans on certain kinds of abortions, and we don't get it. We say, okay, well, will you then at least maybe stop funding the abortion industry? And we still don't even get that. We have made some progress here and there, he said, but still abortion is legal across the land, still hundreds of thousands die, and still Planned Parenthood makes $500 million a year from our taxpayer wallets. We give up so much, guys, and they give up so little. You know why? It's because of our failure. It's because we make it to be so. We give up so much while they gain ground. That's how the Marxist ideology works. Two steps forward, or one step back. We'll take the one step back, all right? We'll pacify them briefly. Two steps forward, one step back. What should our response be to this? Do not settle. Don't give them an inch. We should expect just and righteous laws in this country and nothing less. And we should not be embarrassed or ashamed of that. We shouldn't settle for only enforcing a little bit of our obscenity laws. All of our obscenity laws should be enforced. Not, okay, you can show your breasts in public, but nothing else. You know that's actually happening across the state of Ohio is that women go bare-breasted in public. They've been outside my church protesting bare-breasted, assaulting my children and my husband, and the police standing right there and won't do a thing about it. Well, we'll give them that. Just you can't take off the rest. We're such idiots. Such idiots. We shouldn't settle for banning abortion before 20 weeks. Or settle for at least giving the women their options through crisis pregnancy centers. We should not rest until all intentional child murder is abolished. Leftist tactic number 4, focus on feelings, not facts, right? We saw this with the gay marriage debate. Obergefell versus Hodges, how did they get there? How did they get there when state after state after state said no to gay marriage? They focused on feelings. Love is love. I just want to feel this way about this person. I just want to spend my life with them. And who are you to not let me do that? They don't focus on the facts. They don't focus on the HIV crisis. And they don't focus on how unhealthy the lifestyle is. And they don't focus how damaging it is to a society and to children, but focus on the feelings. Same thing with transgender bathrooms. When the facts say you're either biologically a male or a female, they focus on how they identify, how they feel. When the facts say that 85 to 90% of kids outgrow their gender dysphoria once they get through puberty, they focus on the feelings. When the facts say that over 40% of transgender individuals attempt to commit suicide and transitioning only makes that number go higher of attempting to commit suicide, they don't let you share the facts. They only want to focus on feelings. They suppress and shut down the facts. Now, we don't want to appear mean, right? We don't want to appear insensitive to people's feelings. We're Christians. We love God. And so we're easily swayed by this. We're easily, especially us, because we don't want to appear to be insensitive. We are easily bullied into submission by these Marxists. Then we say, what in the world just happened to my country? I don't even recognize the country I live in anymore. How did this happen? Well, it's very connected to the fact that you just got bullied and you weren't willing to have people threaten you and shout you down and dox you and ruin you and your church and your ministry over an issue that at the time didn't seem to affect you very much, right? At the time, it didn't seem to affect your own children or your own household. But did it affect you? Now can you see how much it is affecting all of us when we have children being stolen from us because we will not allow them to transition? What if one of my children, rebellion sets in their heart? I'm a homeschool mom. I think I'm protecting them from a lot of this stuff. What if one of them gets rebellion set in their heart and decides that they want to do this stupid gender transition thing? All right? I feel like I'm the opposite sex. I thought I had them safe by homeschooling them, right? No. If a judge can take your child from you because your standards say, no, you will not do that, just like we have standards like you will go to church with your family, you will do your homework, okay? Where does this end, guys? Where does this end when children can now say, I'm depressed because I don't want to do what mom and dad are telling me to do, or I'm depressed because mom and dad won't let me do this certain thing, X, Y, or Z? Do you see what danger we're in now, guys? Wake up. We are past time. What should our response be? Harden up. You know, Trump and everybody's talking about how our schools need to be hardened up right now. They're too soft. We need to harden them against crime. Well, we as believers are too soft. It is time for Christians in America to harden ourselves to a little bit of persecution. We're too soft. We're not warriors ready for the battle. And at the least sign of enemy fire, we retreat. We have to stop retreating. Leftist tactic number 5. The left has been so willing to fight in a way that we have not. You know, 25 states said no to gay marriage before it was ever legalized. And they kept coming. They kept coming. They never gave up when state after state after state after state said no to gay marriage. You know, we have one or two failed personhood amendments in a couple states, and everybody wants to throw in the towel. Everybody wants to say, oh, well, failed strategy. It's just not going to work. They failed 20 in 25 states. They never give up. And they don't have God on their side. What is wrong with us? We have the God of heaven and earth on our side. Never give up. I want to real quick talk about 3 stumbling blocks for Christians that keep us from engaging in the battle and that cause us to quit. We pray, but we don't do. Praying but not doing. I believe in prayer. I believe in effectual and fervent and frequent prayer. It is powerful. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross, did he not? But did he stop there? No. He went to a cross and died on it and suffered for you and me. He struggled. He struggled. And do you think it was easy? No, ma'am. No, sir. He had to struggle to do the mission that his Father had given him. We have got to struggle. Who are we? What are we willing to lose in order to save our children? What struggle are we willing to endure in order to rescue our children in this nation? I'm telling you, the Bible's going to be hate speech. It's already hate speech online. We see this from Facebook and Twitter. The people in control and social media, the big tech elites, have decided the Bible is hate speech. It's coming, guys. People will be locked up in this country for quoting the Bible, just like in Canada. Martin Luther King Jr. said, human progress is neither automatic nor inevitable. Every step toward the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle, the tireless exertions and passionate concern of dedicated individuals. Are you down for the struggle, as they say? Raise your hand in this room if you are down for the struggle. If you're not, someone else who wants your kids more than you is, and they will win their hearts. One of my mentors and good friends, Flip Benham, says, everyone wants to follow Jesus until they find out where he's going. He's going to a cross, and he's getting mutilated. He's dying. Are you willing to follow Jesus then? Flip Benham was just in jail about, I think, 2 weeks ago for lovingly sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ outside of abortion clinic peacefully. He follows Jesus. I admire him. Jude 1:3 says, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Guys, we have to contend. There's a fight, and we have to fight for the freedom for unborn babies, for religious liberty in our country, and for our children to be kept safe from social Marxism. And then the next thing that we do is we wait for Jesus to come back and rescue us. Do we not? All right? He's going to come back. Yeah, we're going to get rescued eventually, somehow. But that's what God's people were saying 60 years ago, 70 years ago. Oh, he's coming back in my lifetime, in my generation, right? How many of you with gray hair here thought you would still be here? How many of you thought that Jesus would have already returned? And so many have continued to not engage in the battle because they think Jesus is going to come rescue us and fix it all. And that, guess what? We're still here. We're still here. And now look at what the mess has been left for my kids and my grandkids. No, not on my watch. My kids and my grandkids will know that I worked my tail off to fight for them and for their freedom. And lastly, we just want to be nicer than Jesus sometimes. Is he our example? Is it okay to at least be as aggressive as he was? To fight as hard as he did? Okay. We think it's unchristlike to offend someone. Was Jesus unchristlike when he called people snakes and hypocrites and overthrew tables? Was Jesus unchristlike when he called King Herod a fox? Sometimes you just got to call an ace an ace, right? Was Paul unchristlike when he called the sorcerer child of the devil? Jesus was offensive. He's so much more offensive than people in the church believe he was. His followers were offensive. And if you're not willing to offend someone, maybe you're not following the real Jesus. Maybe you're not a soldier in this battle. Can you win a boxing match without putting on gloves and fighting? Can you rescue your child from an intruder while waiting for Jesus to come back? As the intruder is coming in your door, do you say, "I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back"? No, you fight for them. Guys, the intruder is not just outside your front door. The door is cracked open and he's armed and dangerous. Will you fight? Fighting for the next generation and fighting for America to not go the way of Rome and be sacked by foreign invaders is going to take some chutzpah. It's going to take courage. It's going to take never giving up. There are heroic, tired, battle-weary people in this room who I admire, and I thank you. I thank you so much for everything that you have done. You are an example for us, and I pray that everyone here today will enlist in this battle. Thank you, and God bless you.